And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 FM in Prescott and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQNA. It's Talk of the Town. Today is the Thursday Roundtable Day. Talk of the Town is sponsored by A&E Reprographics, Augie's Restaurant, Barrett Propane, Cottonwood Area Transit, High Country Rec V Center, House Chilson & Associates, Olson's for Healthy Animals, Prescott Brewing Company, and the Yavapai Regional Medical Center. Now live from the studios of KQNA, here's your host for today's show, the owner of Arizona's hometown radio group, Sanford Cohen.
Well, how'd you like to talk some politics? Yeah, I'd say just about everybody is, and no exception on this edition of Talk of the Town. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to head down to the Capitol, where Arizona Senate President Karen Fan is standing by to give us the latest on her take on the election and the counting, therefore. And so if you were wondering what it's like to be in the shoes of the Arizona Secretary of State under election situations, well, we have somebody that can speak to that most directly, and he is the former Arizona Secretary of State and former President of the Arizona Senate, Ken Bennett. He will join us live a little bit later on in the hour. And then we have a quick interview with Quang Nguyen, who is the newly elected state representative out of LD1. He's on his way down there to Phoenix as well. So lots of politics coming your way on this edition of Talk of the Town here on KQNA AM 1130. Also on Facebook Live. So we're going to be doing that for the very first time. So for those of you tuning in there, stick around. We've got lots more coming your way here on Talk of the Town, KQNA AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at kqna.com.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Have you ever purchased a product and then found out it was made in some far-off land? Kinda disappointing, isn't it? Same holds true when buying from local businesses. Why? Because you want to support locals and keep your money in town. Some supposedly local propane companies are really from out of state, funneling your hard-earned dollars somewhere back east. When you buy from Barrett Propane, your dollars stay right here supporting all of us. Think local, shop local, be local. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Load up the RV and hit the road. To the repair shop? Doesn't sound like a fun trip. Instead, let High Country Rec V Center come to you with mobile service. Time for an upgrade? High Country Rec V Center has the largest inventory of RV appliances in the Quad Cities. And they're an authorized service center for standard and extended warranty work for all your major RV appliances. To schedule service, just call 928-772-8231 or online at highcountryrvcenter.com.
Here I go again.
What do you mean, Bruce?
Making sure everyone knows about Cottonwood Area Transit. Ride anywhere in the Verde Valley with 26 locations in Cottonwood, as well as to Clarkdale and the Verde Villages.
And don't forget, you can ride the Verde Link to Sedona every day and to Camp Verde and Greyhound through Yavapai Apache Transit.
Visit cottonwoodaz.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit. Go again.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance, someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 White Spar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa, you can get 20% off three or more items with a $4.99 Napa tool bag. Yep, 20% off power tools, 20% off wipers, 20% off oil and more. It's a whole bag of tricks. Well, actually, it's one trick over and over again, but it's a good one, saving you 20% on three or more items. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating locations, exclusions apply. May not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 11/30/20.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
And joining me live from the Capitol is Arizona Senate President Karen Fan. And Karen, first of all, congratulations on your election and so forth. But you're now down there at the Capitol. What's cooking?
Well, I'm telling you, Sanford, it's crazy down here because of everything that's going on a national level. And, of course, we had Fox News and somebody else that two nights ago declared Biden as the winner of Arizona, which was far from the cry. And as all these late ballots are coming in, that gap is closing. So, you know, there's a real possibility that Arizona could be for Trump, and that's going to make a lot of embarrassed people. It's interesting.
Well, and I will want to talk to you a little bit more about the national race. In fact, we have former Secretary of State Ken Bennett joining us a little bit later on in the hour to talk about what the Secretary of State's responsibilities are regarding elections. But you are right now, as of this moment, the President of the Senate. How did the election go in terms of the balance of power in the Senate?
So we are very, very fortunate. Boy, we just all pulled together, and it was a definitely all for one and one for all. So as of right now, we definitely held the majority. So we definitely have 16 to 14 right now. It looks like we may have lost one seat, District 28, which is Kate Brophy McGee. We're not giving up, but we're still waiting for those last ballots to come in, but she is lagging by about 2,000 plus votes. So, but at least we know we do have the majority. So we had our organizational meeting yesterday, and the Republican caucus voted me to be continuous Senate president for the next 2 years. So I'll still be leading the Senate. Over in the House, miracles do happen. As of right now, we actually have held the majority in the House right now at 31 and 29. We lost one seat, Anthony Kern, but we picked one up out of that Yuma Buckeye district. His name is Joel John, great guy. And then over in the Verde Valley, miracles really happened there because the Republicans just really, really showed up and voted. And so right now, Walter Blackman and Brenda Barton, both Republicans, are in the lead. Brenda's only in the lead by about 300 votes, but heck, we're going to take that right now and just pray that we can hold on. But if we can do that, it's going to be a miracle. We get to keep the majorities, and we, particularly over there in the Verde Valley, we don't have to have Coral Evans or Art Bobbitt in the House because we know how liberal those two are. And it would just push our state even further crazy left.
Boy, and Coral Evans really gave it a go, too. She's the Flagstaff mayor, and they spent a ton of money on advertising trying to get her in.
Sanford, there was almost $10 million of outside money that was poured in Arizona just to try and buy legislative seats. For example, they spent $500,000 on Coral for her. Now, mind you, these are two-year seats, and the pay is $24,000. And by the time you have your expenses, you're pretty well doing it for free. But this is what power means to these guys, of them trying to, they want to take away our right to work status. They want to flip us union here. They don't like our pro-life stances. They don't like our parental choice on school choices. They, you know, we know how they feel about our Second Amendment, right? So, yeah, they're looking to flip us blue, and we're holding on. And Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We had J.D. Mesner over in District 17. There was $1.3 million spent trashing him, trying to steal that seat away. That's how crazy it's gotten this year. And that's just legislative money. That doesn't even count Mark Kelly's and Joe Biden's money. That doesn't even count those. This is strictly for legislative seats.
What do you read in the tea leaves, Karen Fan, about the vote between Mark Kelly and Martha McSally? And I know that the Biden-Trump thing is not over yet because the count is close. But considering the propositions that were on the ballot, 207 and 208, I don't think it really would be stretching the truth to say that Arizona really didn't vote as hardcore conservative as maybe it would have done traditionally.
Well, I think part of it is that the I will give the Democrats credit. They did a great job of driving the vote out. You saw more Democrats show out and vote, and they voted early. They didn't wait. You know, normally what happens in Arizona, Republicans just come out of the chute and we vote strong, and then the Democrat Party is having to play catch up with us. This year it was the total opposite. They got the Democrats out to vote, got them early. They spent a lot of money doing that. And as Republicans, we were all saying, well, wait a minute, we're not too crazy about mailing our votes in. We're hearing some weird stuff going on. We would rather either go in person or we will go hand deliver our ballots. So that's why you're seeing why it's taking so long right now with all these counts, is that the amount of Republicans that showed up on Election Day was just amazing, amazing. So, but, you know, a part of that was is, you know, it's a strategy that people have with elections, is that you put something else on the ballot that will help drive out your side of the party, if you will. So that was another thing. They put, you know, by putting the recreational marijuana and the education funding one, that was a big piece of that, was to drive out the Democrat votes, because as a general rule, Democrats support legalizing marijuana. And they support higher taxes. And so, yeah, that also helped drive those votes out for them.
Where do things stand now with regard to what you do in the Senate in administering to the marijuana proposition now that it's been enacted? Does the legislature, in fact, I know you can't cancel it, you can't stop it, but you do have ways in which you can determine how the program is rolled out for, and did I really say that, rolled out? Anyway, how will it work in terms of how it gets enacted?
Okay, so you are absolutely right. You know, because of things that we've got in our Constitution, we would have to take it back to the voters for us to change or fix it. However, the way the bill was written, it was specifically written that the Department of Health Services, the Arizona Department, they will be the ones to set up what we call the rulemaking as to how this is all going to go about and how this is going to happen and how testing is going to be. Department of Health will be the ones that will have to determine how many testing sites and the security of that. So, you know, depending on how aggressive the Department of Health is going to be or not, will determine seriously how many pot shops we'll have. And I'm hoping that we still are very, very careful about where they're located. That was always a big issue that I had, is, you know, we have very strict rules about having bars and liquor stores too close to schools or churches. And this was not a big thing that the marijuana people, they could care less about that. So I'm hoping that the Department of Health will still follow those guidelines, because we just don't need that stuff around the kids.
Amen to that. So now let's talk about the election and the counting that's going on and so forth. Obviously, this falls under the heading of the Secretary of State. She is a member of the Democratic Party. If there is a concern regarding the way in which ballots are being administered by one party over another, how confident are you that the inquiry into the integrity of the ballot count will be carried out? And what remedies do we have, or do you have, as a legislative body?
Well, I can tell you that for the most of us, we have zero confidence in Adrian Fontes, who is the recorder down here in Maricopa County. 2 years ago, he tried to pull a lot of shenanigans. He did the same thing, trying to pull this by, remember, you heard the deal about the instructions he sent out and said, oh, if you make a mistake on your ballot, just cross it out and fill another one in. And the court said, no, you can't do that. And he pretty well just ignores that. But we were able to tamp down some of his shenanigans because this last session, because of what he did before, we enacted some legislation so the Maricopa County supervisors had more control and more oversight over that department, over the elections department, because quite honestly, we just don't trust Adrian Fontes anymore. There's just been too many shenanigans. Katie Hobbs, when she ran, she was very honest and straightforward. She said, my number one goal, if I get elected as Secretary of State, is to get more Democrats registered and get them to turn out to vote. She was very, very adamant, and she won. Now, I will tell you, on her side, rumor has it is she's planning on running for governor in 2 years. And I think a lot of eyes are going to be watching on what she does or doesn't do in the Secretary of State, because this could have a severe impact on her future political career if she tries to play too many games. But then again, remember, this is the same office. Remember the person that is running against me that's on the ballot, the Democrat? And it was a write-in, and I remember we talked about this, and I called the Secretary of State, and I said, this person doesn't live in the district, so they obviously made a mistake. They live on the Fort McDowell. And Secretary of State's office says it's not our job to verify addresses. So this person got 35,000 votes, and I'm assuming most of them were Democrat, 35,000 votes that never would have even counted because she does not even live in the district. So wow. Their votes were just thrown away anyway.
Wow. Well, I would assume then if there is legal action taken, is it taken against the state? Is it up to the attorney general then to be, does it go to Mark Brnovich in order to work on whatever lawsuit might be filed against the state of Arizona?
Absolutely. Mark Brnovich is deep in this. I will tell you that the Trump legal team is here. And they are checking, there's just some interesting things going on. I'm not saying that there's fraud going on, but there are some interesting things going on that really do need to be verified and researched. And so they are actively doing that right now.
So the only thing that I'll talk to you about specifically regarding that is the Sharpie controversy. I know you are aware of that. There have been denials from the Secretary of State that ballots were disallowed because of the use of a Sharpie as opposed to an ink pen. Has that actually been figured out one way or the other?
Yes, and to put it to rest, the Sharpie Gate, as they're calling it now, the Sharpies have nothing to do with it. Actually, the Sharpies, they register the votes better than a plain ink. And the way they even set it up to begin with in the very beginning, the ballots, there is, even if it bled through on the other side, it is nowhere near where the other black marks go on the backside. So every recorder, our own recorder, Leslie Hoffman, as well as everybody else, has all verified that, no, this does not affect it. Now, there's a few people that have said, wait a minute, when I did this, it was rejected. And the thing comes up canceled. Now, so far, every one of those that have been brought to our attention that I'm aware of, the reason why their thing came up canceled was because apparently they had an early ballot and then also showed up at the poll. So it was the way it said cancel was because there was already a duplicate ballot. So those are the few incidents. The other thing is anything else that is not getting accepted, we have a legal procedure. There is a team of two Republicans and two Democrats that is on this review team, if you will, I guess for lack of a better word. And every single vote that is ballot that is rejected, that team looks at those ballots to determine whether it should have been rejected or not, to handle any inconsistencies. And there are people that oversee that team to make sure that they are doing their job correctly. So we do have some good things in place. So, you know, let's stick to the issues, and, you know, there's no truce to the Sharpie gate.
Well, I may be a little early to consider it, but I might as well ask. Do you have any thoughts in terms of what kind of legislation you might encourage in terms of being able to either streamline the voting process or to make it so that our votes get tabulated and counted and certified more quickly? Because it just seems rather odd that in this day of computerization and so forth, that it would be so much of a slog to get these votes counted.
Exactly. And yes, in our organizational meeting yesterday, there was a lot of conversations about who's going to be running what election bills, because there was a lot of stuff. And like I said, there were a lot of games played. You know, they tried to use COVID as a reason that initially they wanted us to do all mail-in ballots for the primary and the general election. And the Democrats, what they were proposing is send mail everybody a ballot. Anybody that is a registered voter, whether they've ever voted before or not, whether they were going to send everybody a ballot. And we're like going, do you realize there will be hundreds of thousands of ballots floating around that people didn't even ask for, and they don't even know whether they're supposed to be expecting them or not? That's the kind of stuff that they're trying to pull. This other stuff about, you know, the deal about the Navajo Reservation. Oh, their mail is slow. You know what? The Navajo Reservation has been voting for decades up there, and nobody ever said a peep about slow mail before. So why is it this year, all of a sudden, they're going to try and extend the amount of time that people on the Navajo Reservation would have to be able to vote and get their ballot in 2 weeks after the election? It's all games. It's all games that they're playing right now.
Well, Karen Fan, I want to congratulate you on your reappointment as president of the Senate. Looking forward to seeing what is in store for this legislative session. And once again, appreciate you taking the time to give us a call direct from the Capitol to bring us up to date on stuff. And hey, if anything pops up that you think would be of interest for the listeners to know, by all means, give us a holler. We're definitely on standby for whatever the latest is from the Capitol.
Absolutely. I sure will. And I hear that you've got Ken Bennett coming on next, so he is going to be a wealth of information as well for you.
All right, Karen Fan, the president of the Arizona Senate, thank you for joining us live here on Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Ken Bennett actually is here in the studio, so we're going to take a quick break. And for those of you watching us on Facebook Live, stick around, because you may see the camera move around a little bit, because we're going to try to see if we can get both Ken and me on, if that's possible. But in the meantime, we will take a break. You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide on audio at KQ&A and on Facebook Live.
Hey, everyone out there in Radio Land, this is Roxanne. Summer is over and the holidays will be here before we know it. Get a jump on some gifts everyone can enjoy. Here's a deal you can't miss. Purchase two $25 Prescott Brewing Company gift cards at the same time and get a free $10 gift card for yourself. Spend them how you want, when you want, a quick bite, a bit of happy hour, or save them up for a special night out with a friend. Prescott Brewing Company in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Oh, say, can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Rupographics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Rupographics today.
Hey Arizona, how does an extra $900 per year back in your Social Security sound?
then maybe it's time to look at Medicare Advantage plans from WellCare. WellCare believes in supporting your health and your well-being. And the WellCare Dividend HMO plan does exactly that. You keep more money in your pocket while enjoying extra benefits like dental and vision coverage. To learn more about your options and get back some extra money in your Social Security, call 1-877-MY-WELLCARE. That's 1-877-699-3552. WellCare. Beyond healthcare, a better you. Plans vary by region and not all benefits are covered on all plans. WellCare Health Plans is an HMO PPO PFFS plan with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in our plan depends on contract renewal. Please contact WellCare for details. This information is not a complete description of benefits. Call 1-877-699-3552 for more information.
You are listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
And joining me in the studio and on Facebook Live for the very first time here on KQ&A is Ken Bennett. He is the former Secretary of State, former Senate President. And Ken, first I just want to get an overview from you because you've sat in the chair of the Secretary of State.
Yes.
What is the immediate responsibility of the Secretary of State regarding administering these elections?
Basically, it's working with the counties because the counties really run the elections. The counties print the ballots. The counties set up the polling locations. The counties do the counting. And so the 15 counties are really running their elections, and then they feed the results of the county elections or the elections at the county level up to the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State website does maintain a kind of statewide results page that consolidates all of those together so that you can see what the numbers are for the state as a whole, because each county is really focused on their own county results. So the counties run the election, even though in state law, the Secretary of State is the chief elections official in the state of Arizona. And ultimately, once those results are counted and tabulated and then certified, it's called a canvass. At the local level, at the Board of Supervisors, each of the 15 counties has to go to the Board of Supervisors and say, these are the final results. This is usually in a couple of weeks in each county. All of those then final results from each county come to the state level, and the Secretary of State and their staff make sure that everything's correct and adds up and on. And then the Secretary of State canvasses or certifies the statewide results. And I did that several times. The Secretary of State meets with actually the governor, the attorney general, and the chief justice of the Arizona Supreme Court. And those four people get together. Now we're 3 or 4 weeks past the election and certifies the state results.
Now, had you ever been in a situation as Secretary of State where there was questionable ballots and what, if any, action were you able to take to get a close view as to whether or not there were any improprieties?
Well, there's always questionable ballots, but we have procedures in Arizona law to handle that. So, for example, I heard you talking with Karen Fan about, you know, if somebody has used a Sharpie or any other marking device and it caused a problem with the machine being able to read it, is that ballot canceled? And the answer is no. If a ballot goes through a reading machine and the machine can't read it for whatever reason, the spilled coffee on it or it tears and something, those get set aside. And there are actually hand count boards, they're called, where you have two people at a table. They can't both be from the same party. And they actually go through those ballots and agree that, okay, this is what the voter intended, and then they tally those up and turn them in. So those results eventually get considered as well. But so there's provisions for questioning ballots, and Arizona state law also requires each county to videotape every moment, every second where live ballots are being counted in whatever counting room or center they have. They have to be running a videotape that people can go on live on that county's website and watch the process or go back and review the tapes. So we have lots of procedures in Arizona to make sure that there's transparency, that there's accuracy. But like I say, the Secretary of State has very little to do with that at this point in the election. The counties set up their ballots. Now, those ballot styles are called, you know, because in Yavapai County, if you live in Chino Valley, you may have some city council races that you want to vote on. If you're out in Dewey, you may have a school board election out there that's different than somebody in Chino. So the county has to set up different ballot styles based on people who live in certain precincts and in certain jurisdictions. All of those are forwarded to the Secretary of State's office a month or two before the election, and we do review those to make sure that there's no errors or glowing mistakes or anything like that. But the elections are really conducted by the county elections department. Sometimes that's the county recorder's office, mm-hmm. as it is in Yavapai County. The Board of Supervisors has decided that the elections function in Yavapai County is going to reside underneath the county recorder's office. In other counties, that's not the case. Pima County, for example, is a county where they've chosen to separate. There's a county recorder, and they have responsibility for voter registration and the mail-in ballot processes. But the county elections department, which is separate down in Pima County, they're the ones that run the polls at election day. So, and different counties do it different ways, and they are controlled by different parties. When I was Secretary of State, 8 of our 15 counties had Democrat county recorders, and 7 had Republican. And so we work with both sides. The Secretary of State needs to be, you know, straight down the middle and not playing favorites, which I think is why Karen was pointing out the frustration maybe that she had when Katie Hobbs announced when she was running for Secretary of State 2 years ago that her main goal as Secretary of State was going to be furthering the Democrat Party registration, and that should not be.
So if there are perceived inconsistencies with the election this go-round, and we have legal challenges that are mounted by one or more candidates, it's up to the Attorney General, basically, to argue those cases in court on behalf of the state of Arizona. Is that correct or no?
If the complaint, the complaint goes to Superior Court first, but often if they want, many times because of the timeliness of needing to get a decision and not wanting it to be appealed and appealed again, a lot of times they will... The people that have a complaint will go right to the Court of Appeals or even to the state Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And those courts have the ability to say, yes, we feel that this is important enough and has statewide implications. We're going to hear it at the Supreme Court level rather than starting at the county.
Kind of fast-tracking
it,
I guess.
Fast-tracking it. But okay. But those complaints, if there are complaints, it doesn't go to the Attorney General, it goes to the court system. Now, okay. If there is a position where the state of Arizona has to take a position on whatever the complaint is about, then yes, the Attorney General speaks on behalf of the state of Arizona. When I was Secretary of State, the Attorney General was my lawyer. Now, they usually assign a deputy attorney from his or her office to represent the different state agencies. So I had a special attorney from the Attorney General's office that was my specific and direct representative, but if he or she had problems, then they had the Attorney General, him or herself, to back up on.
Now, does the Secretary of State's office in Arizona have an investigative arm that conducts those kinds of behind-the-scenes investigations into election improprieties and things like that?
Yes, but very informally. So as Secretary of State, we would receive, I can remember when I was Secretary of State, we received concerns out of Yuma County, for example, that ballots were appearing from here and there and everywhere. And we sent some people. Now, we have to send somebody on our staff. We don't have dedicated people just for election investigations. I was fortunate to have picked as my Deputy Secretary of State an attorney, who had worked in the House of Representatives and now is back at the House of Representatives working there. So, you know, on your staff, I had my Deputy Secretary of State and the State Elections Director were also attorneys. So, but between them and other longtime election workers that worked in the Secretary of State offices, most of whom came from county offices earlier in their career. So the election family in Arizona is very close, and usually people who do a good job at the county level are often hired onto the Secretary of State staff. And so, yes, for a variety of situations during my 6 years as Secretary of State, we had some investigative teams that would go down, and sometimes I participated in those myself to look into a situation.
So knowing what you know about the job, how do you view what has been going on? Is it something that you're glad you're not up to your neck in, or is it something you wish you weren't so you can get it taken care of? I mean, what's your feeling when you look at it?
Well, I'm one of those crazy guys that, you know, offers himself for office every so often, and so I like to be in the mix, and I wouldn't mind at all being, you know, right there right now. I believe we have very good systems in Arizona. When you have close elections, they sometimes don't produce the results within a few minutes after the polls close. And just the way we have different ballots, categories, if you want to call them, set up, you have some idea, usually by the night of the election, what the trends are, mm-hmm. but things can change. And there's really four groups of ballots. There's the early ballots that were mailed to people at their request. And then they either send them back by mail or bring them in before Friday, before the Tuesday election. Mm-hmm. Or they can go into early voting centers and vote on a live ballot. If a ballot is back in the possession of the election officials by Friday before the Tuesday election, those get verified and check the signatures, and all of those are set up to be processed that weekend. The results cannot be released by law until after the polls close on Tuesday. But those are counted between Friday and Tuesday of the election. Those are the first results that come out the night of the election, usually within 30 minutes or an hour of the polls closing at 7. Those first results are the early ballots that were returned by Friday. The next group of ballots that the results come out are the people that vote at the polls in person. And as their ballots are being fed through the machines or taken to a central counting location where they're fed through machines, once that's done after 7 o'clock, then usually by 9:30, you have the second group of results that are added to the earlier ones. Those are the ballots at the polls, group two. Group three is the mail-in ballots that came in after Friday at 5 o'clock. So on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or dropped off at the polls on Tuesday. But those just go into boxes because at that point, the election officials are concentrating completely on what's going to happen at the polls and do we have all the workers and everything, you know, lights are turned on and on and on. So that third group are the, we call them late earlies, those mail-in ballots that came in Saturday through Tuesday. And those aren't even opened. The signatures aren't even checked until Wednesday morning. Arizona had over 600,000 of those types of ballots when the election polls closed on Tuesday night. So it takes a couple days, at least, to process those. And then the last group are called what are called provisionals. So if somebody gets to a polling location and their address doesn't match, or there was some question about whether they're a voter, or they got a ballot mailed to them at home, and now they show up at the polls, and the poll workers don't know whether they could have just dropped off their mail-in ballot. So to keep them from voting twice, they vote what's called a provisional ballot. And then once all of the first three groups of ballots have been counted to make sure who's voted by mail, then if that person didn't vote by mail and now has cast a ballot, then they'll open it up, check the signature, and process the ballot.
Okay.
That could go into next week.
Yeah. So the idea of being able to call the Arizona election for one candidate or another when there's still hundreds of thousands of ballots yet to be counted didn't make much sense to me at all.
Did not make much sense at all. Now, sometimes, you know, if a candidate's winning 70% to 30%, you know, if they're 1.2 million votes ahead of their opponent and there's only 600, and we know that there's, you know, usually 600,000 votes to be counted over the next few days. Yes, you can call some races, but I think it was very premature for Fox or anybody else to call the election for the president's race as close as it was. On election night, Biden was leading by more than 200,000 votes, but today it's 60,000.
Last question, Ken. And first of all, thank you very much for coming out because, you know, I know that you have a really busy schedule going on at your office right now. So, but coming in, especially for our first Facebook Live broadcast,
it was
really awesome of you to do that.
Okay.
Let the voters know what protections are in place when, let's say, a ballot is found somewhere, and let's say it belongs to a dead person or something, and someone gets in there and decides to fill it out for their favorite candidate and pops it in the mail or drops it in the box. What is there in place at the Secretary of State's level that keeps that ballot from being counted?
Well, again, most of those controls are at the county level. But when the ballots are mailed out to people, each ballot has a barcode. And so if a ballot came back that wasn't one of the ballots that the election department had sent out, it's not going to be counted because it won't have a barcode that's attached to that election. So if somebody found a ballot somewhere, or if they took somebody's and copied it and tried to send it in for dad that passed away a couple months ago, or that's not going to count. So. And the county election departments actually keep track of, they have a tally of how many ballots were sent out, how many were returned. Then they also keep track of the blank ballots that are at the polling locations. So they know that when we started out, we have 1,000 pieces of paper that can become ballots when we run them through the printer and print the ballots. If 600 people come in and vote, then they know that they're supposed to have 400 pieces of paper left. And they actually go through and count to make sure that no ballots came in from somewhere outside of the system where, you know, somebody's trying to introduce. Now, if you and your spouse both requested mail-in ballots and your spouse dies 2 weeks before the election, you've got two ballots at home. If the spouse signs the deceased spouse's name and sends it in, there's some very, very, very narrow situations.
I got you.
Where somebody...
All right. Well, no, nothing is foolproof.
Nothing likes it. Yeah. And the Department of Vital Records, the Department of Vital Records at the state sends a list of the people that die in Arizona over to the Secretary of State's office every day.
And they're supposed to purge the rolls when that happens,
and
right?
We send that information out to the counties, and they're supposed to purge the rolls of those voters that have passed away.
Well, again, I want to say thanks to you, Ken, and for you folks watching on Facebook Live. This guy has sat in that seat and knows what's going on down there, but this is never anything that you had to deal with on this kind of a grand scale, but I really do appreciate your insights and your help in helping us understand what's going on in Arizona.
Happy to do so.
All right.
Thanks.
Ken Bennett, former Arizona Secretary of State, joining us live on KQ&A. We're going to take a quick break for news and be back with Quang Nguyen, the newest member of the State House of Representatives. He'll be joining us here on Talk of the Town, KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live on audio, KQ&A and Facebook Live.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Have you ever purchased a product and then found out it was made in some far-off land? Kinda disappointing, isn't it? Same holds true when buying from local businesses. Why? Because you want to support locals and keep your money in town. Some supposedly local propane companies are really from out of state, funneling your hard-earned dollars somewhere back east. When you buy from Barrett Propane, your dollars stay right here supporting all of us. Think local, shop local, be local. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
We're told that staying in the moment is one path to a happy life. The Breast Care Center at Yavapai Regional Medical Center is here to help you on that journey. Rest assured that when it comes to your breast health, YRMC's Breast Care Center sets the standard of excellence in our community. What does that mean to you? It means state-of-the-art screening technology, exceptional and experienced providers, a compassionate and supportive team. And if you need it, YRMC's Breast Care Center is ready with the most advanced diagnostic studies and customized treatment options. Staying in the moment. Inspired by you.
Why wait till Christmas to have a party when Augie's Banquet Room is available 7 days a week for lunch, 7 nights a week for dinner. Having a birthday, anniversary, career promotion. Maybe you won the lottery. You don't need an excuse to book Augie's Banquet Room, but you do need a reservation. Call Augie's at 777-0330. Augie's Private Banquet Room. Just one more reason why the one and only Augie's Frontier Village is the place to dine on Highway 69.
AM 1130 by 99.9 FM, Prescott, Chino Valley and Paulden, 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A. Good afternoon. Back to Talk of the Town in just a moment. I'm Gregory Scott reporting with a check of news and weather from the Talk of the Quad Cities. A Chino Valley high school student has tested positive for COVID-19. The student was feeling ill. In late October, a guardian was contacted, picked up the student, and later informed district staff of the positive test. Nurse Catherine Werner describes the proactive steps that are taking place.
Based on seating charts gathered from the teachers of that student, 28 students were informed that they were a close contact and would need to quarantine. We had one staff member who was also a close contact. They also are quarantining.
Werner adds additional procedures are also in place.
Our custodial staff is also sanitizing classrooms every evening after students leave. And one thing that we ask that the entire community remember, if you're not feeling well, stay home.
28 students and a staff member were involved. The total number of COVID-19 cases in Yavapai County is reported at 3,151. By Yavapai County Community Health Services, there have been positive cases reported in at least four other school districts, Beaver Creek, Clarkdale, Jerome, Cottonwood Oak Creek, and Sedona Oak Creek in the Verde Valley area. Meanwhile, now that the general election is over, Yavapai County administration buildings are once again closed to the public.
The Board of Supervisors closed the buildings on Fair Street in Prescott and South 6th Street in Cottonwood in July. They were reopened last month, but Board Chairman Craig Brown explains that buildings are being shut down due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
We've been watching the numbers in the last couple of weeks. Numbers have been slowly climbing. And what people don't know is that I also follow the numbers on a daily basis on our employees that are getting sick.
Brown says protecting employees is a high priority.
Most of the ones that we've traced have been coming back to where it's been some interaction with a family member or some other group of people outside of work. So we've been able to keep them safe at work but not safe at home. So now we've got an increased number that have taken ill.
Members of the public will continue to be served by appointment only. Phone numbers will be posted on the doors of the buildings, and they're available at yavapai.us.
Your KQ&A weather forecast, increasing cloudiness tonight, a low of 52, cloudy, partly cloudy conditions on Friday, a high of 75 tomorrow, winds gusting up to 30 miles per hour in the Verde Valley. Mostly cloudy tonight, 55, partly cloudy on Friday, a high of 83, winds up to 25, temperatures dropping over 20 degrees over the weekend. Rain, possible snow showers in the Prescott area. That's news and weather. I'm Gregory Scott for AM 1130, 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A. Like us on Facebook and listen live online at kqna.com.
Load up the RV and hit the road. To the repair shop? Doesn't sound like a fun trip. Instead, let High Country Rec V Center come to you with mobile service. Time for an upgrade? High Country Rec V Center has the largest inventory of RV appliances in the Quad Cities. And they're an authorized service center for standard and extended warranty work for all your major RV appliances. To schedule service, just call 928-772-8231 or online at highcountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
And joining me now on the way to the Capitol is Quang Nguyen. He is the newly elected state representative for District 1. And Quang, first of all, congratulations on bringing it across the finish line. And so you're on your way to the Capitol. What's going to be happening?
Actually, I'm just going down there to meet with a few legislators, and I'm just on my way down trying to learn a few things from the senior members and see what happens.
Were you in any way concerned about the final vote? Because you were the number one vote getter in the primary, but Judy Burgess did kind of nose you out there at the end.
I've been supporting her throughout the entire process. I'm glad she's she's getting the votes that she needed. My main concern is to make sure Judy Stahl doesn't get in, and so I'm comfortable.
Speaking of which, have you had any thoughts in terms of how you plan on handling the lobbying efforts and things like that that you will obviously experience as one of the newbies down there at the state legislature?
You know, lobbyists always want something from you, and so I'm being extremely cautious. And I, spoke to Representative Noel Campbell, Steve Pierce, and just kind of get my way around it to where I need to be cautious. I need to understand who they work for, what they represent. And so, yeah, I'm willing to listen, but I'm going to be extremely careful, and I'm going to make sure that whatever I do in the future is going to represent LD1 and the state of Arizona and Yavapai County. And I'm going to I have a lot to learn, but at the same time, I'll just say this to you, Sanford, I can't be bought.
Amen. Amen. Hey, the big question along those lines is, it looks like the state house is going to be relatively evenly split along party lines, which means that in order to get legislation done, a lot of times you have to give a little to get a little. How do you think that's going to work out when you have such partisan divides in terms of philosophy?
I've been doing a lot of observation through the years at the national level, and I can't remember a time when I see the left side ever reach over to the right side to do anything. I mean, it's rare. So it all depends on what it is that I need to reach over to get things done. But I will tell you this, I'm not selling my soul. And so I'm going to continue to be adhering to my conservative base, foundation, and I'm going to vote constitutionally. I'm going to vote for the people I'm representing, and I'm pretty much going to stick to that. Is it going to be constitutional or not? Who is it going to benefit? How much money is it going to cost us to sign a bill in? And we'll go from there.
Do you have any issues of your own that you have been nursing that you are anxious to bring out and perhaps create any kind of legislation down there at the Capitol when you come in?
You know, there are three things that really concerns me, obviously since March, is that we really need to reopen the state. We need to open the state for business again. And we need to get the economy. The issue number two is to get the economy rolling. That's extremely important. I'm sick and tired of looking at the workforce and no one stand up for the workforce. It's easy to say, we're all in it together, but you over there, you can't work. You over there, you can work, because I get to pick and choose who's going to work and who's not going to work. And also, Sanford, as you know, I travel up and down the district as much as I can. The one issue that continues to pop up is, Kwong, please defend and protect my Second Amendment. So those are the three issues that I'm really concerned with, and I hope to be able to form coalition of like-minded legislators and maybe get those things rolling.
How do you think the propositions are going to affect Arizona, the ones that were recently passed, Prop 207 legalizing recreational marijuana and Proposition 208 that provided for an extra tax on wealthier people to fund education spending?
Well, we'll start with 207. I think it's just an absolutely terrible, it's a terrible thing to add marijuana to the many problems that we are experiencing. Now we're going to allow our children, and children will get to it. They'll find a way to get to it, and that's my main concern. I just think it's horrible. I think we're going to live to regret this. You can't turn back this one. So you and I sort of share that. Also, 208, how many ways can you take money out of the same guy's pocket, right? How many ways can you get this? So this is going to prevent new businesses from opening up. It's going to prevent new business from moving into Arizona. It's going to create an environment where people will move out of here. And eventually, they're going to move the goalposts from 250 to 195 when they don't get enough money. and it continues to do that. It's going to devastate the economy. The other thing that I want to remind everybody is, it's easy to say, hey, let's the rich people can handle a few dollars a day, but the reality of it is, we're all going to pay for it. It's all going to run downhill, and you know how that goes, right? Cost of doing business is going to be passed on to us, the consumer, and I'm not sure why people don't see that.
Well, speaking of running downhill, it sounds like you're starting to run down the hill on I-17, and we want to thank you while we still have some decent cell coverage and wish you great success in getting to know and having people get to know you, and once again, congratulations on your victory.
Thank you, Sanford. I really appreciate it, sir. Yes, and one more thing. I want to thank everybody out there who put a vote in for me. I'm so grateful. I am so, so grateful.
And we are as well. So take care. We will talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Boy, what a great guy. Huang Wen, we'll be back with a final thought after this. Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you save money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
Here I go again.
What do you mean, Bruce?
Making sure everyone knows about Cottonwood Area Transit. Ride anywhere in the Verde Valley with 26 locations in Cottonwood, as well as to Clarkdale and the Verde Villages.
And don't forget, you can ride the Verde Link to Sedona every day and to Camp Verde and Greyhound through Yavapai Apache Transit.
Visit cottonwoodaz.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit.
Hey, everyone out there in Radioland. This is Roxanne. Summer is over and the holidays will be here before we know it. Get a jump on some gifts everyone can enjoy. Here's a deal you can't miss. Purchase two $25 Prescott Brewing Company gift cards at the same time and get a free $10 gift card for yourself. Spend them how you want, when you want, a quick bite, a bit of happy hour, or save them up for a special night out with a friend. Prescott Brewing Company in the heart of downtown Prescott.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
Hey, thanks everybody for watching on Facebook Live. We've got Mark Levin coming your way next on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. We will see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock for Let's Talk Sports.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by A&E Reprographics, Augie's Restaurant, Barrett Propane, Cottonwood Area Transit, High Country Rec V Center, House Chilson & Associate, Olson's for Healthy Animals, Prescott Brewing Company, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and Yavapai Regional Medical Center. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of a Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.